Welcome to everyone to come to church and worship our Lord together. I've been given a task to look at the concluding chapter of a series I've been going through, first and second letter to Timothy, for the last few months. Perhaps we start by reading the Word of God. I've got this in the slide. The title given is The Endgame of Every Faithful Disciple. Okay, this is from the NIV. If you have a Bible, turn to your own Bible. If not, just I shall read through those verses, 6 to 22, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 22. For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I send Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander, the metalworker, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to this heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Do your best to get there before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so do Prudence, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. Let's pray. Be still, for the presence of the Lord is here. We do thank you, Lord, that you have made yourself available in this time, in this worship. Give us a heart that is still to listen to you, to understand your word, and to make it work in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have sung just now. Thank you very much for Chi Sing and the team for leading us in a time of worship, of grace of God. And it's the grace of God they are all here today. And I also want to thank the pulpit ministry being gracious to give me the concluding chapter. Because the concluding chapter is always easier because you always point to the message that has been given before. So we just say direct to somebody else who preach on this, please don't trouble me with all this. Now, I do hope that you have listened to the sermons over the last 2 months. So today's message is going to be short and sweet. So I've taken the liberty to fill in with something else. I would like to talk a little bit about health. We know that to have a healthy body, we need a healthy lifestyle, don't we? But what would constitute a healthy lifestyle? Well, the first is healthy eating, right? We all enjoy eating. Healthy food is an important building block to a healthy body. We love food, and we can eat anytime, anywhere, even in church. Perhaps it's appropriate at this point to acknowledge those who have faithfully organized our Sunday lunch week in, week out. Deacon Kwan Ling and Su Qin and his team, and of course, Sister Lillian. Thank you very much. And there's lunch later, I gather. They have been providing us with healthy, nutritious and delicious food. Take note the order of the adjective used. Now, the second important factor that constitutes a healthy lifestyle is adequate rest, especially sleep. Yes, I know. I know what some of you are thinking. The answer is no. Sleeping in church is not the way to catch up on your sleep. The third is appropriate and regular exercise. Now, just out of interest, can I ask you to put up your hands for those who of you who do not do any exercise at all? Wow, no hands. Great stuff. This is really an active church. So what sort of exercise do you do? Do you play badminton, any one of you? Badminton? Wow, very good. I have a problem with badminton. You know, Jesus taught us to focus on things that are good, not bad. So it should be called good-minton. Any tennis players here? Timothy? Oh, the tennis star is out there. He's up there. Now, pickleball. Have you heard of pickleball? Wow, very good. The latest, most fashionable sports. It's said to be a game for older people, but in Malaysia, it is popular among the young and played mostly by younger people. I played it once, and it was quite fun, actually. I suspect if I play a few more times, then I can be probably considered young as well. Now, how many of you run? Any marathon runners here? Any run? I know that the cameraman runs. I know someone who has been doing some running. He has been trying to improve his time by running faster, training harder to achieve a better PB. Now, PB is not public bank. It is personal best. Okay. Over the last couple of years, he has been running less, but he continues to talk about running with enthusiasm and boasted his PB was 5-minute kilometer. When you push him and you finally admit he only does some walking nowadays, and they say, at least I walk the talk. I walk the talk. Now, go back to 2 Timothy. The second letter to Timothy is the last recorded letter that Paul has written before he was sentenced to death by a Roman emperor. Emperor Nero blamed the Christians for the great Roman fire in AD 64. It was thought that he wrote this just weeks before his execution by beheading at the age of around 60. In verse 6, Paul said, I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. Paul described his impending death like a drink offering in the Old Testament, a sacrifice for the sake of the gospel. The fact that Paul is close to his death adds urgency to his message, not only for Timothy, but for all of us. Paul was looking back on his own spiritual journey, giving fatherly advice to a spiritual son for the last time on what life of a faithful servant should be. So Paul described himself having fought the good fight, having finished the race, and having kept the faith. The fight described here is in the context of sports, of a race, rather than war. Not only did Paul want Timothy to learn from him, to emulate him, to follow him, Paul wanted Timothy to carry on his ministry. In verse 5, the verse before that, but you keep your head in all situations, and your hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. That was what Paul was doing during his various missionary journeys to plant churches in the whole of Asia Minor and Greece, and now in Rome, where he was jailed and where he wrote this letter. Paul wanted Timothy to follow him much like Joshua had followed Moses, Solomon, David, and Elijah, passing the torch from one generation to the next. Tradition has certainly lived on. We have seen that Herbert Hudson Taylor and James Hudson Taylor III and IV following the footsteps of James Hudson Taylor for bringing the gospel to China and Asia. And the clan has continued to work in Asia. Franklin Graham following Billy Graham. And of course, in this church, Pastor Mark Tan and Pastor Tan Eng Lee. There are a few things that we need to consider to have a healthy lifestyle, but there are also a few things that we need to consider to be a faithful Christian. Just look at what Paul has been saying on what being a faithful servant means in 2 Timothy. So the outline of the message today are threefold. who are called to fight? Who is Paul writing to fight, to race, and to keep the faith? And how to fight, how to race? And the last thing is, what do we need to run the race? Who is Paul writing to? We know Paul is writing to Timothy because the letter is named as Timothy. Now, Paul told Timothy not to let anybody look down on him on account of his youth in 1 Timothy 4:12. Tim was comparatively young when Paul wrote this letter. He was probably in his mid-30s, which in that time was still considered as youth. Yes, some of you still have some hope. Now, certainly Timothy must have felt inexperienced and immature for the heavy responsibility which Paul has called him to do, to be the leader of a church in Ephesus. Heavy duty, heavy responsibility. Number two, Paul urged in the Corinthians to assure Timothy there was nothing to fear. If you read 1 Corinthians 16:10, Paul encouraged Timothy not to be timid in the Spirit of God in 2 Timothy 1:7-8. Timothy was probably quite a shy character, not the charismatic leader who can speak confidently and debate forcefully. An important asset in those days in a Greek culture, and a very important asset today too when we look for a leader. But this is not what Timothy had. In 1 Timothy 5:23, Paul said, "Stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illness." So Timothy was physically frail and suffered from a recurring gastric problem. So not only Timothy was young and shy, he was physically frail too. But God has chosen him to lead the Ephesian church. Isn't there a better candidate? Paul said, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ." 2 Timothy 2:1. Remember, this letter ends in a benediction in verse 22, "Grace be with you all." So this letter is written by Paul not only for Timothy, but he has written it to all the believers too. God has in fact called not only Timothy, but also to all of us to fight the fight and to race the race. Not just to Timothy, but to all believers. We are not perfect. We are not well trained. We are not in shape. We are not psychologically prepared. We are not ready. How can I have the strength to fight? How can I have the energy to race? We have many doubts. We have many worries. Maybe get the pastors and the elders to fight. Get them to run. If not enough, get the deacons as well. Get them to run the race. I'm not ready. I have news for you. All those who have believed in the salvation of Jesus Christ on the cross are called. We are to fight the fight and to run the race. All of us, no exception. We are definitely not perfect. That's why we are Christians. If we are perfect, we don't need the salvation of Christ, and we may not have any fight in our hand and any race to run. We can be spectators. But we can't be spectators here watching our pastors and elders from the sideline. We are in the fight and we are in the race. God has called us all, warts and all. God has always chosen the weak to show His strength and to show His power. Israel was chosen by God to start with because they were one of the smallest tribes. They were one of the weakest tribes. Moses was not eloquent in speech and he spoke with a stutter. But God chose him to negotiate and convince the Pharaoh to let the Jews leave Egypt. Come on, a man who speaks with a stutter to negotiate with the Pharaoh? That's what God did. Quite apart from natural abilities, there were major characters' flaws recorded in the Old Testament as well. Abraham lied not once, but twice the same lie because he could not trust God to protect him in Egypt. Yet, he was described by God to be faithful in Romans 4. The Abraham I'm talking about is not the one who is an elder in a PGA church. Sarah did not believe God's promise, but God kept His promise all the same. King David, betrayed the trust of his soldier and committed adultery. Would you trust him to lead an army or to rule a country? God did. Well, Isaac and Rebekah, you know the story of Isaac and Rebekah, form such a dysfunctional family that they definitely would not qualify to be a deacon in any church described by 1 Timothy 3. Yet God looked at Isaac with favor and blessed him. God chose all of us, not because we are good and capable. We are chosen like Timothy together with our weaknesses, but we can be made strong by depending on the grace of Christ Jesus. So how to fight? Second point, how do we fight? So we have called all of us, but how do we fight the fight and how do we raise the race? Thank you. Nope. There are 4 points taken from passages through 2 Timothy. And all this has been addressed by previous speakers, previous preachers on the pulpit. We have gone through the series for the last few months, and each of these passages have been looked in details. First point, to guard the faith. In verse 14, I'm sorry, you may have to help me. Okay. Chapter 1, verse 14. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So we don't guard with the faith with our own strength that would not be strong enough against the evil's forces. We do it with the help of Holy Spirit. Second point, to prepare to suffer for the faith. In 3:1, there will be terrible times in the last days. We have been warned. It has been predicted, it has been prophesied, it's going to come. But Paul said, join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Paul has urged us to be devoted to Christ as his soldiers, disciplined as an athlete, and diligent as a farmer in chapter 2. Thankfully, I have to say that in the grace of God, I haven't suffered much for my faith. But we need to be prepared. We need to be ready at all times. But one thing is for sure, when the testing comes, we will be strong in God's grace and secure in God's faithfulness, not by our own strength, not by our own might. The third point is to continue and persistent in the faith, taken from 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 17, which I'll read to you. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is used for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The message that was preached last week. Through the reading of the Scripture and the application of Scripture in our lives, we can continue to be persistent in our faith. Continue and persistent in faith despite suffering, despite persecution, despite opposition, despite evil people around us. The Scripture is a double-edged sword that will penetrate into our hearts and our soul to allow God's Word to change us, to mold us, to make us into useful vessels of Him and for Him and for His kingdom. The last point is to proclaim the faith, which I will have spent a little bit time to expound. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuild, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Chapter 4, verse 2. Now, in the New England Translation, it says to share our faith in all occasions, convenient or inconvenient. The New Living Translation says, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. So it may be out of season, it may be inconvenient, it may not be favorable time to share our faith, but we are still to do it. Paul led by example. that especially in this letter to Timothy. Did you realize? Now, he was preparing for his defense in Rome to appear before the emperor, knowing full well the odds were stacked against him. He said in verse 6, "For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near." He's almost resigned to his fate. It was in this time he needed to concentrate on his own survival. But yet he took time and effort to write this epistle to instruct Timothy about salvation of others. Why did he do that? Did he know the priority in front of him? He did. Of course he did. He knew full well the difference in priority between eternal death of those who have not known God, who have not known Christ, and his own death facing the Roman emperor. Can we tell the difference in consequence between missing the opportunity to preach the word and the inconvenience that we may go through proclaiming our faith? The word also says to correct, rebuke, and encourage. The word can be preached to speak to people in different situations. It can be used to correct a wrong understanding. It's to dare to rebuild a wrong action, or for emotional support with encouragement. Well, we must use our discernment and spiritual wisdom to preach the word with sensitivity, depending on situations, depending on occasions. This is a dilemma I've often faced as a doctor. When and what to say to patients or all the relatives? I'm still learning. I have to confess I've missed many opportunities because I wasn't prepared. I've missed because I was timid. One piece of medical advice, though. You know you're in deep trouble when your doctor suddenly becomes a priest. Just imagine, you know, doctor, I can't breathe. What's wrong with me? The doctor answer, let's commit you into the hands of God. Now, this is almost as terrifying as a priest suddenly becomes your doctor. Now, it says you have to preach the word, preach your faith with great patience. Now, despite the urgency to preach, we need to be patient. We bring the gospel, we share our faith, but it is the Holy Spirit that convicts. We should therefore approach our sharing with patience, allow the Holy Spirit to work in His own time. And we said, we careful instruction. Not only we are to preach the word, we are also to use it to instruct others. Now, because in 2 Timothy 3:16 it says, all scripture is God's breath and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. 3:16, you remember 3:16? John 3:16. John 3:16 is a universal salvation offered to all. 2 Timothy 3:16 is a universal instructor of the word of God for all believers. So we need to know our word well. Now, apart from our personal Bible study, our Bible reading, there are other opportunities too. In the church today, we have Bible study in the cell group. There's a Bible education class on Tuesday evening, just started on the book of Hebrews. There is also the adult Bible class on the first and second Sundays of the month being held just right after church. Just after lunch at church. There are also resources outside the church too. The Klang Valley Bible Conference was held just a few weeks ago, and Rico Tice was teaching from the parable of Jesus Christ. They have started taking registration, believe it or not, for next year. Right? Just concluded, they are now taking registration. They really plan early. If you feel you want to study the word more systematically, there's a Bible study fellowship that is held weekly. You can go across the road to the Malaysian Baptist Theological Seminary to find out what they can offer. Come and get yourself equipped with the Word of God, the sword. Learning the Word of God is not about knowing more. Of course, that's important because Paul said knowledge puffs up. It is not that you do well in the next Bible quiz. It is about changing our lives, getting our minds molded for His kingdom. For him. 身教忠于言教。You know, when we teach our children, this is a Chinese saying that say that it's more effective to set an example for your children than to tell them what to do. They will better and they will learn better, they will learn more effectively by following examples of their parents. Now, it is true too for Christian life. St. Francis of Assisi actually said this, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. To proclaim our faith is not only that we need to know the word of God and to preach it, we need to live out those biblical truths in our lives so that we can be effective witnesses for those who are not only hearers, preach, but also see how we live. Then they will listen. Bonhoeffer went even further. Your life as a Christian should make non-believers question their disbelief in God. Jesus has changed and saved the whole world by dying on the cross for us all. He's now asking us to change the world around us by telling those around us about Jesus. Change the world. Change the world. Do we have the power? Luke 10:16, when Jesus sent out the 72 disciples to preach, whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me. Jesus went further in John 20:22-23. Jesus breathed on them, his disciples, and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Not only God has given us a charge to preach the word, He has given us an authority and a power to do it. In verse 8, Paul said, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing. Having completed the race, Paul is looking forward to the crown of righteousness. In the context of a race that Paul is talking about, it's a garland that is rewarded to the winners of Greek Isthmus Games, which has actually given rise to the Olympic Games today. It is a victor's crown. The Emperor Nero may declare Paul guilty and condemn him to death. In contrast, the Lord, the righteous judge, declares him righteous and rewards him with a crown like a winner. It is important to note that this crown is not awarded to a small selected group of Christians. It is not given only to a group of Christians who have done enough good work. These groups don't exist in God's eye. It's given to all who have longed for His appearing. So this crown is given to all Christians who have believed in Jesus dying on the cross and rose again after 3 days. The same Jesus will come back again in the last days. On that day, all Christians, all of us who believe in Christ coming again will receive this crown, the crown of righteousness. From verse 9 to 22, Paul has listed down quite a few names who have been known by Paul as his friends, his co-workers. He has also mentioned those who have deserted him, who have done him great harm in the church. Now, this may help Timothy to identify those trusted fellow workers and believers, and at the same time, I also warn Timothy those who have not been helpful to Paul's ministry and the church. Now, this is a map of the churches during Paul's time. All right, I'll take you through some of it. For Demas, because verse 10, for Demas, because he loved this world, had deserted me, has gone to Thessalonica. It's in the map, Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Dalmatia is modern-day Croatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he's helpful to me in my ministry. I send Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchment. It is said that Paul was probably arrested in Troas and brought to Rome for trial. That's why in haste, in his hurried departure from Troas, he's left behind his two very important things, which is his cloak as well as his scrolls and parchment. In verse 20, Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so Prudence, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. So these are the places. Don't forget, these places are quite wide apart. They were quite far apart. They don't have planes that fly. They don't clock out frequent flyer miles. They actually have to walk, take the boat, and ride the horse. So it is a long time between one place to another to get there. But I would like to focus on the thing that Paul has requested Timothy to bring, because these are important for us to also run our race when we are called to. Things that he needed in preparing for his end game in his own defense against a Roman emperor dead on sending him to death. Things that were important during his ministry and more so now in his difficult time of fighting for his own survival. Well, first of all, he desired fellowship. He requested Timothy to come in verse 9 and also to bring Mark. Remember Mark that he actually rejected in his first missionary trip? Now he found Mark useful. In verse 16, he said, "At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it, and was delivered from the lion's mouth." Now, he certainly felt the loneliness of having faced the first court case all by himself, with no one to support him, with no one to confide in, with no one to encourage him. He could not hide his disappointment, but he continued to rely on the Lord's strength. He knew that the Lord would sustain him, but he would still yearn the fellowship of other believers and fellow workers. Second point is physical needs. He asked Timothy to bring along his cloak to keep him warm because winter was approaching. We are asked to be ready to suffer for our faith when required, but we do need our sustenance. Our physical needs like food, clothes, housing, etc. are not only important but essential for our work in God's work. The third is spiritual nourishment. He asked for his scrolls and parchment. These are the Old Testament that and some notes and records that he may have written. God's word brings comfort. God's word brings encouragement. And God's word brings enlightenment. Even a spiritual disciple like Paul had human needs, the human needs of fellowship, the physical needs for keeping warm and spiritual nourishment through the word of God. Now, we are asked to be hospitable, to meet the needs of others, and to encourage one another in our spiritual walk because we are all members of one big family, the family of God. We are to fight the fight and to run the race. We are not to be spectators in this fight or in this race. Walking the talk is not going to be good enough because we are to run the race, not to walk the race. Rely on the Holy Spirit so that we can guard our faith because it is a priceless treasure. Depending on the grace of God so that we are prepared to suffer for our faith. Enlightened by the Word of God in the Bible so that we can continue and persistent in faith because it is the truth of God. To proclaim the faith and the gospel because this is a good news that brings salvation. These are the four ways we are to run the race and to fight the fight. We need to stay both physically and mentally active to stay healthy. But we are not charged to be an active church primarily, although all of us are active, right? We are charged to be a faithful church, made up of faithful people, faithful servants of God. Faithful servants are steadfast, single-minded, intentional in the grace of God. We are charged with faithful servants like Paul here, so that we too can say with confidence at the end of the day, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. Let's pray. Lord our Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you have called us out of the wilderness. Call the wilderness into your light, because we know that to do this is only through the grace of you dying on the cross for us. We do thank you for a privilege of able to run this race, to fight this fight, so that we can say at the end of the day we have kept the faith only through the grace and the mercy you have given to us. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.